Like that. Pastor Jeremy was wearing green pants too, so yeah, I'm not the only one. Hey, who's excited to be here this morning? Anybody? I was going to introduce myself, apparently I don't need to do that. If you're a guest with us this morning, this is kind of somewhat of a different service for us. We are really glad that you're here today. So our lead pastor, Dennis, is on vacation this morning. And this time of year, it's no secret. He's out deer hunting. So we hope that he has an awesome weekend away. I know for sure he's already got some meat, but he's still after a trophy. So if you're on board with that, then you say a prayer for him to kill a big one this morning. When I was growing up, we were a deer hunting family, and so the entire calendar in November revolved around that. So I totally get it. I understand that itch that he has to go out and kill a big one. This morning, Pastor Dennis is our normal communicator. This morning, he does an awesome job. I'm continuing a series that he's been in all month long on generosity. And so we've covered a couple of topics already, and I'm going to continue with that series this morning. But Pastor Dennis has covered the idea, first and foremost, that generosity is about more than money, right? So a lot of times when we hear the word generosity, that's where our minds immediately goes toward money. But we opened the series talking about the fact that we can be generous in a variety of ways. First of all, we can be generous in gratitude. We looked at the life of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Paul was such a generous person in terms of his gratitude. He opened all of his letters by saying, every time I think of you, I remember you with thanks, and I offer thanks to the Lord as I pray for you. And so Paul is an example of how we are supposed to live our lives in gratitude toward others. And I think that Paul was so full of gratitude because he was so aware of his humanity, of his past, of the things that God had saved him from. And so Pastor Dennis pointed out this concept that he who has been forgiven much will forgive much. And so I think for all of us, it's the same with us. When we become aware of what Christ has done in our lives, the overflow of that will be gratitude. We're grateful for salvation. We're grateful for the gift of life that Christ has given us. And that should be a natural outflow. We should be generous in that gratitude toward others. And so that was week one. The second week, we moved on then. Okay, so if we're generous people in our gratitude, where do we go beyond that? And the part two of that is that our lives should then be an offering to the Lord in terms of the gifts that he's given us. Every single person in this room, nobody's exempt. Every single person here is talented in some way that is unique to you alone. God has made you, specifically you. He's equipped you with gifts. He's equipped you with talents. And his expectation is that you would bring those things back to him as an offering of worship, so that others can be blessed. There are things that you are equipped to do right here in this place that nobody else can do. Nobody can fill that role the same way that you can. And so Pastor Dennis encouraged us to be generous in the way that we serve, and we give our lives as an offering to others unto the Lord. That was week two. And then week three, like I said, Pastor Dennis left on vacation, and he left me with the topic of money. So this morning, yes, as we continue this series on generosity, we are talking about money. And I know that some of you are starting to squirm already. Some of you are like, ah, man, churches just want your money. Preachers just want your money. That's all they want. Every time you go to church, they talk about, hey, give us your money. That's something that makes people uncomfortable. And perhaps you've been in a setting before where you've either seen churches or TV preachers, they've abused their ministry or their platform. They've called for financial resources, and they haven't been honorable with those things. You've seen the topic of money abused in the past at some point. I'm certain of it. So maybe that's why you're uncomfortable this morning. Or maybe you're uncomfortable because you have a misconception of what it means to be a generous person, what it means to actually tithe to the Lord. We're going to talk about that this morning. Maybe you've never really heard it laid out in a concise and a clear way of what the expectation is. So maybe it makes you uncomfortable because you feel like this is some sort of guilt, or it's some sort of payment that you owe to the Lord. Maybe there's a misconception there. Maybe you're uncomfortable when we talk about money because you think, I'd love to do that. I really would, but I just can't afford to. Anybody there? You're like, ah, man, I'd love to be a generous person, but I ain't got nothing to give. Or maybe you are uncomfortable when we talk about money because your finances are a mess. And let's just be honest this morning. I'm not here to throw stones at anybody. We've all been there at some point, but maybe your finances are such a mess, you think, I really would love to implement tithing into my life, but there's just absolutely no way. Based on my financial picture right now, I just can't do that. So maybe that's you, or maybe on the way here this morning, you and your spouse were fighting in the car about your finances, or sometime this weekend, right? Maybe you've come together and you're like, look, we can't afford to give because I want that new fill in the blank, right? And I know that if I get that new whatever it is, you can fill it in. It could be your boat, it could be your new truck, it could be your whatever. I don't know what it is. You fill in that blank for yourself. But you know that if you get that, it's going to be ammunition once again to say, look, I'd love to, but. So maybe there's all these things in our life that kind of trigger us when we hear churches asking for money, because it puts us in this uncomfortable position because we just either don't understand or we just don't have it to give, right? That might be your situation this morning, but like I said, my goal is not to guilt anyone this morning. I'm not trying to throw stones at anyone this morning. I just want to bring you the Word of God. I just want to lay it out. And you take it from there. You decide, what am I gonna do in light of what the scripture says? How am I going to live my life in light of what the scripture says? I say all the time, I'm all in. God, I'm all yours. Okay, well, do we mean that in every area of our life? That's what we're gonna talk about this morning. You see a couple of tables here? We are, like I said, we're gonna talk about tithing. We're gonna dig into this concept of what it means biblically to tithe. And then at the end of the message, we're actually going to have a little illustration. And so we will get to these tables eventually. For now, they'll just be in the way and you can stare at them as much as you like. But money is an important conversation. It's something that we have to talk about. Why? Because the scripture addresses it all the time. Did you know that Jesus actually spoke more on the concept of money and finances than he did on heaven and hell, for instance? We want to talk about heaven and hell all the time, but Christ actually talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell. There's over 800 verses in scripture that deal with the idea of money and with stewardship. So it was important to Jesus, it's important to scripture, therefore it has to be important to us. There's no way around it. And I think that what happens when we fail to address it is we begin to see things that are played out in everyday life. For instance, did you know that it continues to be this way in life, that one of the largest contributors to divorce in the world is the topic of money? There's infidelity and there's money. People divorce all the time because of their finances. They go into their marriage saying, I'm gonna love you, baby, for the rest of our lives. Nothing will ever come between us. I'm yours till the end. And then all of a sudden, a little bit of life happens and people can't come to an agreement. Their finances are a wreck. And next thing you know, they go their separate ways. Finances are a big deal. They cause separation in relationships, not just in marriages, but in all sorts of different relationships, whether that's family relationships, whether it's business relationships. They can bring an end and they can sever important relationships in our lives. Money is important. It's a big deal. According to a different study, kind of on a little bit of a different topic, the Wall Street Journal says that 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. If you're living that way, you know the frustration. What does it mean to live paycheck to paycheck? It means this. On the first of the month, you get that paycheck. That's an awesome day, right? That means you're going out to eat that night. That means you're probably going out for ice cream that night. That means you're going by the gas station and that low fuel light, you're gonna go all the way, right? You're not just putting like 563 in your tank, you're going all the way. You're like, fill it up, okay? That's what day one looks like. But if you're paid twice a month, by the time day 15 rolls around, you're like negative $37.23 in your account. And there's no leftover. There's no reserve. Okay, that's what paycheck to paycheck means, is that when you get paid, you're living high on the hog, right? And by the time the next payday rolls around, there is nothing. It's literally paycheck to paycheck. If that's your situation, you know the pain and the frustration of that. You know what that feels like. So again, I'm not here to make you feel guilty or to throw stones at you this morning, but I want to present to you a better way, a different way of living according to God's word that can revolutionize the way that you go about your finances. So we're gonna go super practical this morning. Like I said, I wanna talk to you about what tithing means, and then I want to show you literally what it looks like when we tithe, when we put God first. One disclaimer before we jump into that, and that's this. This is directly from something that Pastor Dennis has told us before. The principles this morning that we're talking about when it comes to tithing and generosity, again, generosity is this living our lives for others, serving others, giving to others, doing for others, all of these things. The concept of generosity when it comes to our finances and tithing specifically, as it's laid out in Scripture, is the baseline for Christian living. Okay, we're not even going to really dig into generosity yet this morning. We're talking about what is the baseline. What's the foundation for Christmas? My mind's there already. What is the foundation for Christian living? So generosity goes above and beyond that. But as Pastor Dennis often says, tithing is the floor. It's not the ceiling. Okay? Tithing is the floor, not the ceiling. We're gonna start here, and then when we obey God in this area, we can move on and above from there. But that's where we're talking about this morning. So what is the biblical principle of tithing? It's pretty simple. It's all throughout Scripture, though. It begins in the beginning, appropriately, and then it's carried all the way throughout Scripture. The biblical principle for tithing. Everybody say the word with me. Say tithe. It's easy to say. Sometimes it's difficult to do, but it's an old word, a very old word that means, literally in the noun form, it means the tenth portion. Tithe means the tenth portion. And then in the verb, if you're tithing, it means this. It's an old religious act that says bringing the first tenth. Bringing the first tenth. So in the noun, it's the tenth portion. The act of tithing in the verb is bringing the tenth portion. Notice the word bringing there. Okay, we're not paying our tithes, we're not giving our tithes, we are bringing our tithe back because, as you know, you probably know at this point, all that you have, it's not yours. That's right. We are simply put here on this earth as stewards, as managers over what God has entrusted to us. Whether that's your finances, whether that is your time, whether that is your talent, all the resources you have, everything you own is not yours. It's a gift from the Lord. So we bring our tithe back to God as an act of worship. This is a concept that goes way back to the very beginning of Genesis, to the very first family. Of course, we know that Adam and Eve were the first two people, and their family was established. They had two sons. Their names were? Cain and Abel. And who killed who? Anybody remember? I have to think about this every single time. I don't ever remember unless I say Cain was able to kill his brother. That's my little trick for remembering because I can't ever keep it straight. But Cain and Abel, they are the ones where this concept originated. You probably remember the story. Two brothers were both, they were bringing an offering to the Lord. At this point, tithe hadn't been established. It wasn't a thing yet. But they were bringing an offering, and the two brothers went about that in a different way. Abel brought his first fruits, okay? His harvest was, he harvested his crop, and he took the very best, the first fruit of that offering, and he brought it to the Lord as an act of worship to him. He offered his first fruit. Now, Cain, on the other hand, he was more of a farmer. So Cain brings his meat offering, And this has nothing to do with whether God's a vegetarian or something else. But Cain brought his meat offering from what was left over of the animal. So he made sure that all his stuff was taken care of, that he had what he wanted, what he needed for the week, whatever. And then what was left over, he offered to the Lord as an offering. And of course, we know if you remember this story that the Lord was displeased with the offering. Why? Because it wasn't his first fruit. It wasn't his best. So the two became jealous of one another. Cain who became jealous of his brother Abel. And then we know that eventually it led to Cain killing his brother over this jealousy. So we talked about all these reasons that money is uncomfortable. Well, look at this very first offering. It eventually led to murder. So we see in the beginning that this concept of offering first fruits is established. I want you to think about it kind of in our modern context. Imagine this with me. You're having a guest over for dinner. You've got lots of things to do to kind of prep for them to arrive. You're probably cleaning the house, right? Making sure the laundry is taken off the couch and actually put away in the rooms where it goes. You move all the shoes from in front of the door. You sweep the front mat. You make sure all the dishes are taken off the counter and put away where they go. And you do all these things. You clear the kitchen table, and you're right. It's full of like bills and art projects and everything because nobody sat there for 3 months. And so you're doing all this stuff to make sure that the outside, the presentation looks really good, that it's taken care of, and that things are prepared for your guests to arrive, okay? They show up eventually, and they're there. You're hosting them for dinner, and then what happens? They come in, you chit-chat for a little while, and you sit down at the table, and you lean over to your kid, and you're like, hey, run out to the garage real quick. Okay, you see where I'm going with this? It's not in the kitchen refrigerator anymore. This is like all the way in the garage refrigerator. Like, hey, get that leftover casserole. Remember, a few days ago, I made that casserole. There's one scoop left. Go get that scoop. We're gonna give it to our friend here tonight. Imagine that scenario. If you invite someone into your home, you prep all the stuff on the outside to get it ready, and then you serve them that last piece. Think about it a second. Casserole, and I know there's mixed feelings about casserole. I happen to think casserole is glorious. I grew up on casseroles, okay? There's nothing better than a fresh casserole. You know the difference. You know that first scoop that comes out, okay? It's still hot. The edges are maybe even kind of like bubbly around, you know? You can see like all that grease rising up to the top. It's still sitting there around the edges. All the crispy stuff on top is still crispy the way it's supposed to be. You know how it goes. And it's like that very first scoop into that dish, you lift the spoon out and you see it all just kind of like stringing together. It's amazing, right? The first scoop in a freshly prepared casserole. That's your first scoop. But what is that last scoop like? Now, I don't know how you feel about leftovers. We eat a lot of leftovers in our house because we're good stewards of our resources. Nothing goes to waste. But that last scoop of casserole, there's just something different about it, okay? It's no longer like this amazing concoction of stuff. It's kind of like this little brick that's left in the corner of the pan. It's merged itself into this one clump. You can't tell like what's what in it anymore. Like the vegetables and the creamy filling, they've all kind of become one. That crispy stuff on top isn't crispy anymore. It's like spongy. There's no grease left. There's no cheese pull. There's none of that stuff. It's that leftover piece, right? So you've got your last scoop of your casserole and you've got your first scoop. Which one do you want? If you're seated at that table, which scoop are you reaching for? I think we all know the answer to that. And if we kind of reverse this, because sometimes people push back on this concept of first fruits and they're like, look, whether I'm giving at the end of the paycheck or at the beginning of the paycheck, God's still getting his portion, right? One scoop that's fresh on day one, one scoop that's day three stuff. Which one do you want? Reverse that. You're the guest. You come in and somebody offers you day three casserole. How do you feel about that? So first fruits are established in the very beginning of Scripture. We see that, again, these brothers bring two different offerings. One brings the first and the best, and the Lord is pleased, and the other brings what's left over at the very end, once he's taken care of himself and made sure that everything else is provided for, and the Lord is displeased with that offering. Then we fast forward a little bit into Genesis chapter 12. We see that God calls Abraham to be the father of the people of God. And Abraham begins to establish himself as a nation. He's going on all these different journeys, and he's acquiring land. He's acquiring things. God is really blessing him to become the father and the people, the father of God's people. And we see that through this blessing that he was blessed by a priest named Melchizedek. And his immediate response, once he acquires all these things and he sees all this favor, all this victory, he's got all this stuff, what does he do immediately? He says, it says in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, it says that Abram gave a tenth of everything. So first we have this concept of first fruits way back in the beginning with Abel offering the very best of his crop. Then we have the concept that when Abraham comes along, he establishes that the first tenth of all of my stuff is going to go toward the Lord as an act of worship. Again, it's not a law yet. There's nothing set in stone, but this is Abram. Follow the progression with me. We've got first fruits. We've got a tenth of everything. And it was interesting to see that as God and Abraham grew closer together, as Abram began to trust the Lord more, as he began to lean into him more, as that relationship was developed and God blessed him, Abraham moved forward in generosity. That should be our heart. That should be the progression. As we lean into the Lord and we trust him in every area of our life, we should move deeper into this concept of generosity with him. Then moving on in scripture, we eventually come to the character Moses. We know that Moses received the law in the book of Exodus, and he set the precedent of the concept of tithing. Okay, it went from a first fruit to a tenth of everything to now being a law in the Old Testament. Some people immediately, they kind of balk at that. They're like, well, you know what? We're New Testament people. We don't live under the Old Testament. Okay, fine. If you want to live under the New Testament, then I would encourage you to examine what the New Testament required, because it was actually everything. God's people in the New Testament lived together and they donated all of their resources. What they had was literally like a community pool. If I have it, it's yours. If you need it, it's yours. Whatever is mine is yours. And then from an actual law perspective, between the tithe and the offerings that were required by the temple, they were required actually more like 35% of their income went to pay off their temple taxes and all of these things. So if you want to say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian, go ahead. You can follow the New Testament example, but I would challenge you that God doesn't move backwards in this stuff. He's moving forward. And as our heart becomes more and more intertwined with his heart, our hands should be more and more open to this concept of living generously and giving back to him. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Again, back to Moses in the Old Testament. And let me, before we jump into this, let me also say this. The amazing thing about being New Testament people is this, that in the Old Testament, you often see this concept of blessings and curses, right? You'll read story after story about how God blessed his people, and then the other people who didn't follow along, well, they were cursed, right? Curses, 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 all this stuff in the Old Testament. And it's such a harsh environment in the Old Testament that people often died for their mistakes, for their failures. Their lives were required as payment. But in the New Testament, the amazing thing is that when Jesus came, it says that he fulfilled the law of the prophets. So now Jesus, he absorbed the curse of sin and death, and he passed on the blessing. Isn't that amazing? That now there is blessing, there is curse, but Christ has taken the curse for us so that we get to live in the blessing. And when we live in Christ in the new as New Testament people, we live in the blessing of salvation that he has already purchased for us. So think about that as we move forward this morning, that if this is not an area where you're surrendered to the Lord yet, we're not here again to throw stones at you. Your life will not be cursed as a result of this, but I'm telling you, if you want to live in the Lord's blessing and you want to be obedient to him, this is an area that is, it's prime territory for you to move toward the heart of God. So in Leviticus 27:30, again, backing up to Moses, in the law, it says this, every tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or the fruit of the trees. And all of you are like, great, I'm off the hook. I don't have any seed. I'm not a fruit farmer. So there you go. But it says, every fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And then skipping to verse 32, it says this, and every tithe of the herds and flocks. Okay. So again, we're just moving around. We got fruit farmers. Now we have herders. He's making sure that everybody is covered here. Okay, nobody's getting off the hook. Everybody's covered by this law. Every tithe of the herd of the flocks, every tenth animal, and all that pass under the herdsman's staff shall be holy to the Lord. So there's this idea in the Old Testament that we move from first fruits to a tenth. Now it's a law, it's an expectation, a requirement that God's people participate in this. Why am I harping on this morning? This is what Scripture tells us to do. This is what's required of us of Scripture to be obedient to the Lord in every area of our life. 100% of us. If you call yourself a Christ follower, this is what you're supposed to do. These are not just random statistics. These are actual statistics from our congregation. 30% of us currently tithe to this church. That means 3 out of every 10 people in this room are tithing a tenth of their income to this church. Again, look, I'm your pastor. I love you. I'm not after your money. I'm not here this morning to get rich off of your donations to this church. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says because God wants your heart. He wants your surrender in this area of your life. So that's why it's so important this morning for us to be obedient. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says it this way. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. You have to remember this, that what God has called us to do, it's not this command. It's not this thing that we have to, oh man, here we go, like dragging this ball and chain of the gospel. No, this is what we get to do as followers of Christ in order to live in his blessing. This is an honor for us. And I know that sometimes it's hard to change our thinking when we're in the midst of difficulty in our lives and we don't know how we're gonna make it from one paycheck to the other. I know it doesn't always feel that way, but I promise you, if you can commit your heart to the Lord in this area, he will draw you closer to him so that eventually it does become an act of worship, an honor to the Lord, something that produces fruit and joy and good things in your life. Again, back to Proverbs 3, it says this, that as people gave, it says this, that in verse 9, it goes on, it says, then your barns will be filled with plenty. How many of you want plenty in your life? You want to be filled with plenty. Some of you are like, I'll just take the barn, thanks. Like, that would be enough. That's me. I got plenty of woodworking tools to shove in there. I'd love to have a barn or just even a shed, something like that. But God says, no, if you obey me in this area, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Filled, bursting, above and beyond. And Malachi, if you've ever heard any teaching on tithing, you know this passage. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 said, bring the full tithe, circle that in your Bible, bring the full tithe, not 8%, not 5%, not 2%, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? If you go to Crown Point Church, it's Crown Point Church. Right, that means 10% of your income is designated for Crown Point Church. Not whoever you saw on TV last night. Not, well, I give 5% here, and then I like to give 5% to that place over there. Or I like this guy, I'm gonna support him. Crown Point can have my 2%. No, it says bring your full tithe to the storehouse. Why is that important? Because this concept, it was always intended throughout scripture that the people of God provide for the house of God. The people of God provide for the house of God. I know that it's not something that we often do, but sometimes we should take time and really begin to think about what this church accomplishes, okay? We are blessed as a church, we really are. I mean, if you come here, you know our seats are comfortable. We give you donuts, we give you coffee. We do a lot of things for you that the money of some people in this room has provided for, the finances. But it goes so much further than that. This church is literally reaching people and lost people are coming to know the Lord through the money that is provided here. The people of God provide for the house of God, but we're not all on board with that just yet. So imagine if we could, what we could accomplish together. I would encourage you to get on board with it, and let's allow Pastor Dennis to dream and to lead us into this next season as a church when all of a sudden our barns are filled to overflowing. I'll tell you, and Jason Kerr is a member of our board. Is going to come in just a couple of weeks. We've got some great news for you about your generosity and how through your giving we've moved to a place now where we've paid down more debt. But I'll tell you this much: based on what our budget is, and knowing how many of our people are tithing their income, and based on what is possible in this room, there would be no debt. There would be no debt if we all got on board with this. And if we weren't constantly putting money toward yesterday's things, imagine what we could do tomorrow to reach the kingdom of God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Again, I'm taking too long on this. But bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. This is the only area in scripture where you find that. And I know you've heard that before, but God says, put me to the test in this. And I would challenge you, if you're not tithing, put the Lord to the test. Try it out. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there is no room or there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you. You got creditors coming after you. You got all these things in your life. Your relationships are broken. Things are falling apart. Be faithful to the Lord. See what God does. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed. Look at that turn. We're faithful. Bring our tithe to the Lord. It says, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord. This is the blessing. And like we've heard in this series already, we are not blessed just to live high on the hog. We're not blessed just so that we can enjoy everything about our lives, keep all these blessings to ourselves, and to hoard what God has given us. But we are blessed to be a blessing. Somebody say amen this morning.
Amen.
Jesus added to this in Luke 11:42, and this is where I think it takes a real turn again. This is Christ talking to the Pharisees. He says, but woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and you neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So we see this shift in the language of Jesus where he's all of a sudden he's kind of hearkening back to this concept of first fruits. Jesus says, look, you can tithe all day long. You can figure out what your paycheck is, you know, to the penny, what the tenth is, and you can give that all day long. But if you are neglecting justice, if you're neglecting your relationship with the Lord, if you are abusing those around you, your relationships are falling apart, you're missing the point. It's not just an act of bringing the tithe. It is an act of the heart being fully surrendered and submitted to the Lord. That's where Jesus brings it full circle. The two are linked together, our hearts and our wallets. Most of the time they are, and I don't think there's any way to dispute that. You know this in your own life. The fact is the Lord doesn't need our money. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills." He doesn't need your money, but he wants your heart. That's the point. Matthew 6:21 says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So why don't we do it? 3 out of 10 of us are. 3 out of 10. I think there's a lot of reasons. And again, I love you, and that's why I want to lead you through this list of possibilities. You might be somewhere in this one of these categories this morning. 3 out of 10 people in this church are tithing. 7 out of 10 are not. Why is that? Well, maybe you just don't know. Maybe you just don't know that this is actually an expectation. This is what is required of us by Scripture. Maybe you've never heard it laid out quite like this before in a way where you realize, oh, I'm actually supposed to do that. I've heard of tithes and offerings, but I never really knew the difference. I didn't know what that was. Tithe is your first fruit, 10th portion of your income. Your offerings are above and beyond that concept. Maybe you didn't know. I love you, but maybe you're stingy. Maybe that's what it is. I get it. Look, I understand. I like stuff. I really do. I love things. But maybe your heart has not been moved yet to the point where you're willing to just kind of release these things. Maybe you know what a tenth of your income is and you're like, heck no, I ain't giving that. Because if I give that, then there's no way I can do this or have this. The definition of stingy is literally this. It says unwilling to give or spend, ungenerous. That's the definition of stingy. Did you know this, that the average household income here in Kansas City, in the metro, so that's this entire area for 2024 is $85,000 a year. That's household income. Some of you are like, bring it on, yes, please. Some of you are like, we'd be on the streets if that's all we had, okay? But that's the average household income. That's right in the middle. You're probably somewhere on either side. Maybe you're close, whatever. But I just wanna do like a little bit of math for you this morning. If that's your household income, 85,000, and these are rough numbers, 85,000 divided by 24 pay periods equals $3,500. It's a little bit more than that, so we're being generous. $3,500 per check. So every pay period, twice a month, whatever, you're getting that much. 10% of that is $350 or monthly $700. Maybe you're like, I ain't doing it. No way. Maybe your heart is unwilling to give. Maybe you are ungenerous. But again, I want to remind you, imagine what we could do if we all came together on this. Maybe you're in a position where you just have too much debt. There's no way that you can possibly make all this work. You're like, look, I've done the math. I wouldn't mind participating, but at the end of the paycheck, there is nothing here. Unfortunately, we live in a society where we often get things we want before we can actually pay for them. We know we can afford the payment more than we can afford the thing, right? We live in tremendous amounts of debt in this country. And if that's you, that is a terrible place to be. We want to help you as a church. Just as a side note, I'll throw this out there. I know Pastor Dennis is working on the possibility of offering financial peace to the church. It's a wonderful system to help you get in a better place financially. If you need help in this area, we want to help you. Please talk to Pastor Dennis or one of the other staff and let us know that would be beneficial to you to go through a class like this. And maybe we can make that happen for you. But Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. All of us agree in this room, slavery is a terrible thing. None of us want to be enslaved. But that's what we're doing when we continue to live in debt. We're paying for things that we decided we wanted yesterday. We're paying for yesterday's things on tomorrow's income, right? We're constantly trying to play catch up. Maybe the last thing is this, that maybe you're just fearful. If I give that money, how in the world am I going to make it? And I want to walk us through something this morning that I think helps us to see the reality of what tithing looks like. Again, it's a first fruit offering. We've got an illustration this morning. Some people are going to come today, and they're going to show us literally what it looks like when we tithe our first fruits. So these people are coming out today, and they are bringing us, they're all farmers of sorts. They're bringing the first fruits. Now notice over here, we've got these cantaloupes, but notice what we did first. We placed our very first and our very best offering right here, okay? Here is our tithe to the Lord. And now look what's left over. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9. We've got 9 more cantaloupes, okay? So we've got our 10th, our first fruit, our best, and then we've got the leftover over here, okay? Now we've got some pineapples. I don't know how many of you eat pineapples. Just side note, you may enjoy knowing this. Pastor Jeremy loves these. These are like, yeah, these are one of his favorites. He'll eat himself into a coma with pineapple. So you gotta watch him today. He might walk out with that. But again, look what happened, okay? We've got our first fruit offering. We've got our very best placed over here before we even deal with these, okay? And now, we're just continuing on down the line. Cabbage, how many of you love cabbage? Anybody? Oh, look at that. Actually, more hands than I thought. We eat cabbage like once a year, every March. We boil it, and then the cool thing is you can smell it the rest of the year, right? It like never leaves your house. So Brittany makes us cabbage, and then we enjoy it for the rest of the year, enjoy, right? So then we've got an orange, okay? This is our first. And again, follow the path all the way down the line. But look what's happening already. Look what's happening. This table is getting smaller, right? This table is getting smaller. And this is the leftover. This is the 9. We've already given our best. We've already given the first 10th off the top before we ever even had to worry about what was left over. Look what we're doing. We're bringing to the Lord our very best offering. We got lemons. Life gives you lemons. What do you do? Give it to the Lord. There you go. Now we got carrots. I know you guys like carrots. These are like lunch snacks to me. They go in the lunch bag, and you know, maybe God's blessed you with an abundance of carrots. What do you do? You bring the first. And you offer it as your best fruit to the Lord. And now, look what happens. You don't even know what to do with all your carrots, okay? Wow. We got a ways to go, too. I got a lot to keep trying to say, all right? We got apples, and I'll just say this. Hey, look, this illustration last night was a decision at about 10 o'clock. I made it happen because I think it's important. When you go to Walmart and you buy all of this at 10 o'clock in the self-checkout aisle, you're gonna have some interesting conversations. So if you ever need a conversation starter, go fill a couple carts full of fresh produce and check it all out in the line, which was a huge hassle, by the way. There's nobody that works at a checkout register at 10 o'clock at night, and I had to do all this myself. But I did it for you, because I want you to see the importance of this. We got lettuce for all you salad lovers. And then look at this other stuff. Look at this. You know what this is? Anybody know? This is the stuff, if you're old enough, you remember at the Shoney's buffet, right? This was all over. And what did they do? They just kind of like scattered the rest of the food all in there. You know, and every now and then, when we were kids, we thought it was hilarious. We'd like grab some of this and put it on our plate. Of course, mom's like, don't eat that, you know? And now people grind it up and eat it all day long. And they're like, oh, it's the best thing ever. Weirdos. So look at what's happening though. We're continuing to offer our very best to the Lord. And then look at this table. We got stuff galore over here. We got our broccoli, we didn't even talk about that. We got our red peppers, we got our cranberries. Okay, Thanksgiving special right here. Bananas, these are my favorite. This is like, this is breakfast every day right here. And then we've got avocados, which I don't know if you know this or not, you may or may not shop for avocados, but this is like a little lump of gold, okay? These things are expensive. But regardless of what it cost, our first and our very best goes over here on this table. And then, again, I don't even have to illustrate at this point, but look what's happening, okay? We have given off the top. We've given our very best first, okay? There's one right here of everything that God has provided over here.
Amen.
And again, when we talk about our barns being full with the overflow, the abundance of what the Lord provides, we don't even hardly have room to stack anymore on here. When we live by this principle of giving the best up front and allowing the Lord to use this in our life. And what happens? Listen, what you may end up finding is that, you know what? These are gonna go bad. I really can't even get to these before it begins to spoil. So what do you do?
Yeah.
You begin to move into a place where the abundance, the overflow in your life, you can then begin to give above and beyond. You can say, Lord, I can't possibly live with all of this. Let me say again, if this message is uncomfortable for you this morning, I want to challenge you. Put the Lord to the test. Try it. As you allow your heart to move toward the Lord, as you say, God, I'm all yours, I'm all in, mean it from the bottom of your heart. God, I'm all in every area. Even my finances, God, I give them to you. Lord, I want to be yours completely. Let that be your heart this morning and see what God can do. I'm so thankful in my life that it was modeled for me by my mom my entire life, my dad, that the very first fruit, the very best tenth of everything we had always went to the church. We tithed. Every time, no matter what, no exceptions. We decided ahead of time, this will never be up for discussion, never up for debate. We're gonna follow the Lord in this area. And we saw the Lord's blessing on our lives. Even in times when it was difficult, you know, a season when my mom was a single mom and things were tight, we saw God's hand on our life. And I'm thankful in Brittany's life too, being raised by a single mom. Her faithfulness in this area, she never missed the opportunity to tithe to the church. It was modeled. And now in our lives, it's never been up for debate. We're gonna give to our church. And I pledge to you as the church, as the body of Christ, we will be faithful in this area. And for some of you, you might look around and you might think, man, who can possibly do this? Well, I'll tell you this, all those people that brought this stuff out, they're committed to it. Our board and our staff, we are bought into this concept. We have seen God's hand, his faithfulness in our life. And there's no going back. When you trust God in this area, when you step out in obedience and you give him your whole heart, God is going to bless you beyond measure. How many of you want that blessing this morning? Amen. Would you stand with me? We're gonna close. Pastor Dennis is gonna continue this generosity series next week. He's actually gonna close us out with one final message on this concept. But here's something I wanna just give as an illustration. Just an act, a very, very simple, but very practical way that tithing will be a blessing. All of this food is gonna go bad very quickly. So I know that you're probably hesitant to do this, but as soon as I say amen, if you want something, it's up for grabs. Come get it, okay? So you make your way up here when I say amen, and I want you to take what we've provided here this morning, what God has provided through your generosity. We are living under the blessing right now, but can we all just commit to following the Lord in this area this morning? Test me in this and see that I won't open the floodgates of heaven. Amen. Join me in prayer today. God, we are your people, and God, we are so grateful that we've been bought with a price. Lord, we're thankful that we are yours. And Lord, I pray that today in this place, God, that our hearts would be softened in this area. Lord, that if there are those that that are maybe holding on to things too tightly, God, we've been moving in the idea that we are truly the owners, and God, we really like our stuff. I pray that you'd soften our hearts. Lord, that we would see the value of generosity and that we would move toward you. God, if there are fears that surround this concept of tithing, I pray that you would calm them, that you'd bring peace. Lord, as we literally see in front of us the blessing that we can experience when we live in a first fruit, offering our 10th way of life. God, I pray that you would help us to be all in with you this morning. Lord, it's in your son's name that we ask you all these things, and we pray that as we follow you in this way, God, that you would bless this church so that we can be a blessing. Lord, I pray that so many people would come to know you as Lord and Savior because of our obedience. God, that the ministry, the reach of Crown Point Church would be multiplied, Lord, for generations to come. God, that people would serve you as Lord of their life because of our willingness to submit to you in this area. God, we want to be generous. We want to follow you. God, help us as we walk out of here to put these things into practice. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Come and get it. It's yours. God bless you. We will see you on Wednesday night.